Hello, and thanks for tuning in to kpcradio.com. It is currently 1:03 p.m. on Monday, March 6th. I'm your host, Skylar Lester, and you're listening to Exposure, where we shine light on notable figures in the world of photography. Today's guest is accomplished fine art photographer and former Pierce College student, Courtney Coles. As a young artist, Courtney has already made a name for herself, with works displayed in such prestigious locations as the Getty Museum and Annenberg Space for Photography. She has a penchant for music, and her work often focuses on documenting the lives of musicians and others immersed in the scene. Hi, Courtney. Welcome, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Skylar.
Of course. So for most of my guests coming on the show, this recording studio is a pretty new and unfamiliar environment, but I understand it's actually kind of like a second home to you. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Very, very short story. I was tricked into coming on to KBC Radio.
You were tricked?
It was a big trick. Yeah. So it was probably the winter-ish of 09 when Natalie, who's the very first program director, she was talking to one of our advisors about bringing back the radio station. And I thought she wanted my help to bring in like music to play. So I thought, oh, let me find all these local bands that no one's ever heard of yet. And so I gave her a list of like artists to kind of like, you know, yeah, like look these bands up. Like, I gotta go. I'm going to art school. Like, I gotta leave Pierce real quick. Mm-hmm. And my like first task was to contact Nick Harcourt, who's at the time he was a DJ for, I think it was, what was he doing at the time? It was way before his CSUN thing. He was doing for, it's like blanking for me, KCRW. Wow. So embarrassing. So we were like, our first thing was to have him come in to talk to, I guess, us and just maybe a few students to like talk about radio and the jitters that come before it or come with it. And I didn't realize she was kind of like weaning me into like, you're doing music, Courtney, here mm-hmm. you go. I'm like, oh no, you know, of course I'll find bands and Nick and all these other notable figures. And then it turned out like, no, you're actually the music director and you're also going to have your own show. And I'm like,
oh wow.
No, that's not what I, nope, here we go, I guess.
I didn't sign up for this.
I did this myself, I guess, whatever, it's fine. But yeah, so KPC Radio 2010, I was tricked into doing it.
So at that time, they didn't have a radio station anymore?
Nope. I think it was just more so just sitting on the back burner because it was just a thing that Pierce had way back when.
Not enough interest.
Yeah. And Natalie wanted to bring it back and like have it kind of ran by students and everything. So it was pretty cool that she was able to speak to multiple advisors to make an actual class. And all it was just a really big learning experience because we're all just like, what are we doing? We don't know.
Yeah. This it's is so new to everybody.
Yeah.
Wow. And what was your show called?
Music from the Underground.
Cool.
Yeah.
So clearly music plays a very big part in your life.
Just a little bit.
So, I mean, how is it that you got your start in photography?
It was just something that was always around. My parents, amateurs at everything, like at, I mean, with art or whatever, they always photographed us just growing up, just had little keepsakes for our family albums and stuff. And I kind of picked up on that as the person who always had a disposable camera for school field trips. So I just kind of like played around with that. And my very first like thought of like ever, like I want to be a photographer was when I was 13. I got a photo of a friend named Christina. And I was looking at all the photos from school. I was in eighth grade. And it was just this, the way she looked at the camera made me go like, wow, like I didn't plan that. Like that was, that's not what I thought would come out because it was all film. And I remember saying, like, Mom, I want to be a photographer when I grow up. And she was like, okay, good. Like, we get it. Like, you're going to be a lawyer instead. We know. Like, photography, you can do this. But it was just something that was always around and gave me something to do because I like to observe. So instead of being the creepy person, like, looking at your friends, I'm like, let me just look at you through my lens and became that kind of thing.
That's really cool. And what kind of work do you mainly focus on producing?
When it's not for a client, I'm mainly doing a lot of, at least now, I'm doing a lot of work focused on myself. Mm-hmm. In college, I was very into documenting my friends and just, like, us hanging out. And I was instructed by a teacher to pretty much find the one thing that scares you and photograph that because that's how you know you're hitting the right thing. And I thought, like, what scares me? And then we go, I scare me. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to, like, anyone see photos of, like, me not looking cute or whatever. And at the time, I was crying a lot because I was just so homesick and just so, like, tired of college. And that was one big thing that scared me, was people seeing me cry. And I thought, this is one of the things that scared me. It's me crying and also me, the focus. And so I turned the camera on to me by using a mirror. And it became this ongoing thing of, like, me documenting just myself in a way that I never really did, because prior to that, it was just, like, selfies for social media or
right.
MySpace or whatever, but it was never anything. It's like, this is really me. So
it's
currently,
raw.
It's
yeah,
very, yeah.
You feel very exposed.
Very
you
vulnerable.
Learn a lot about yourself, I'm sure.
It's scary. It's terrifying.
And what school was it that you were talking about?
I went to Pacific Northwest College of Art. That's in Portland, Oregon. And I'm so thankful for that education. Like, the fact that I was able to even be like, yeah, let's go to Portland. Like, I'm 20, whatever, it's fine. Because I was gearing up to go to CalArts, but I ended up just ignoring that school and going for PNCA. And it was the only school I applied to. And so all my eggs were in one basket, which is totally, you know, unheard of. But I was like, I only want to go there. Like, I don't want to be in California anymore.
Yeah, you knew what you wanted, and you did it.
And I did it.
Yeah.
Did it.
So, is CalArts in your future, though?
Yes, actually.
Yeah?
I'm currently a freelance photographer for them, so whenever they need an extra hand, they call me up, and I photograph events for them. I actually applied for grad school at CalArts, and my interview's Thursday, so...
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sweating.
That's so exciting, though.
It's so wild. It's the only school I applied to, once again.
It worked last time.
It worked last time. That's what I'm saying. Like, it worked last time, so why not this time? But I have a good feeling about this. Like, I'm definitely in a place where I'm ready for CalArts, whereas 10 years ago, I was definitely like, oh, yeah, art school's fine. So I probably would have, like, appreciated what the school would have offered.
Mm-hmm. What is it that draws you to CalArts specifically?
I think then it was just more so it was close to home, and it, like, I was never going to be in traffic because I was so afraid to be on the freeway. I'm like, I can just take the old road. And so it was a very, like, amateur, like, I want to go to CalArts. But now it's just what the school can, like, actually, or what the school has done for, like, the L.A. art scene is how it is close to home and it is sunshine. Because I realized in Portland that I'm a sun baby. I need sunshine to not be terrible. And it's just a lot of the, like, notable alumni and all, like, the big names, whatever, but I think at the core of it all, it's just, it feels like home. Mm-hmm. It felt like PNCA when I walked up in there and I was going on tour. I'm like, this is, like, I've been here a million years. And so whenever I go to the school for any event, it's just a weird feeling. I'm like, okay, this is home. And this is a weird feeling because I don't go here, but I feel like I go here. So it's that loving thing. And I know any school I apply to or go to will be like, it's ups and downs, it's pros and cons. But I think I try not to think about the bad things. I'm like, no, like, I'm going to stay focused on the fact that it feels like home, and that's always been important to me.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And when you're working, are you mainly shooting film, or do you also work digitally?
Up until December, I was mainly doing all film. Unless it was, like, a last-minute client needed something, like, that night.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, borrowing friend's camera. So up until December, I was doing just film, but currently it's a mixture of both digital and film. Mm-hmm. And it's taken a while for me to kind of, like, shake off the edge of, like, I'm no longer just a film photographer, because that's an ego thing, and who cares what instrument you use to make the photo work.
At the end of the day, it's the art. Still,
yeah, it's
create.
The art, yeah.
What is it that you like about film, though? I mean, clearly you were shooting film for a while, so
for
there must have been
time.
A reason.
The fact that it slows me down. Because I'm a very impatient person, and film definitely slows me down. And I mean, even when I'm shooting fast, it, like, makes me really think about each shot, because there's only 15 exposures, maybe 16 per roll, and I can't afford to, like, miss it or, you know, mess up or anything. So, and just the fact that it's just this magic of film. You can always emulate it with digital, but there's just something so pure of knowing exactly what the exposure is going to look like. And when you get the scans, you're like, okay, that's exactly what I thought it would look like. Whereas digital, it's like, oh, that's not what I like. Let me just over, under, and just play with it.
Yeah,
and that's just
it.
Too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, like, I don't want to sit for 3 hours to edit a photo. Like, I don't want that. I want it to look the way I envision it and it not have to be this weird dance I do afterwards.
Were you mainly working with 35mm film or other formats?
In the beginning, like, when I first started photography, I mean, outside of the whole, like, digital point and shoots. I was mainly using 35. And then I was taking a class here with Sean. He had an old, I think it was a Rolleiflex, Flex, and he mentioned, like, you might like the medium format, like, you know, this TLR, like, try this out. And I thought, like, I don't want to try a thing that doesn't have, like, a built-in light meter. Like, that's, what are you doing, dude? But I fell in love with the fact that it had much more detail and much more just to offer than 35. But until maybe four or five years ago, a friend of mine pretty much gave me his Mamiya. Like, I bought it. I couldn't just take it. I'm like, let me just buy it off you, dude.
Yeah.
So I've been using medium format for about four or five years. And it's just, it's beautiful. I love it. I use 35 when it comes to shooting concerts and everything. But when it comes to portraits and all my other documentary stuff, medium format. Yeah.
Great. And what camera do you currently shoot with the most?
The most? The Mamiya still.
The Mamiya.
Yeah. Without, because I don't want to include, like, client work, which is my friend's Mark II, but it's the Mamiya. I only have one camera. I'm a very minimalist. Like, I want one body on me. I can't do the whole, like, multiple. Like, I have a point and shoot and a digital. I can't. It's just because I get too distracted with the fact that I have a cell phone and I have this camera and that camera. It's just,
you just want to focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And I heard that your camera has a name. Is that so?
Yes.
What's your camera's name?
Her name is Autumn Lee.
Autumn Lee?
Yeah, L-E-I-G-H.
And where does that name come from?
A lot of people think it's because it's named after my favorite photographer, Autumn DeWild, but it's totally not true. I love that story, but it's totally not true. My favorite season's autumn. And fun fact about me, all my cameras are named after my future children. In case I don't have kids, I name my cameras after my future kids.
That's great.
So when my kids are like, Mom, what am I named after? I'm like, you named after this Mamiya right here. That's your name. Or like, what about me? I was like, oh, yeah, the 35. That's you. Oh, my gosh.
I would be so honored.
Like, you're welcome, kid. It's not a song. It's after this camera. So here you go. Yeah.
That is hilarious. In addition to your camera body, what is some other essential gear that you work with?
Like lighting-wise or?
I mean, just for instance, the show photography you do, do you just have your camera or do you
just
have a flash unit?
No flash unit, yeah.
Okay, just
that. I'm a sucker for terrible lighting. I learned how to shoot concerts at the Cobalt, Rest in Power, Cobalt. The dirtiest, like, darkest venue ever. My first few shows there, I had, like, the pop-up flash from my 35.
Mm-hmm.
But after doing a lot of digging on Flickr, I sound so old. I sound so dated.
What's Flickr?
What is that? After doing a lot of digging on Flickr, I learned that it's all about the film and, like, pushing the film to, you know, this exposure or whatever, or this ISO. And from there, you can pretty much open up your aperture and blah, blah, blah. And so I just kind of, like, got a rush from, like, not knowing what the photos would look like if I pushed to 32 and, like, open 1.8 and, like, pray to God that, like, my photo will come out. And so when it comes to bigger shows, it's still the same. I admire those who know how to use flash, but for me, I don't like obstructing whatever's already going on. There's enough going on for me to, like, not add flash to the musician's face or any strobes or anything. So
just keep it simple.
Keep it very simple. So you don't even notice I'm there. That's my, I like to blend in the background where you don't realize I'm in the pit or I'm in the corner or I'm in the car with you or whatever. So whatever makes me kind of blend in the background.
What is it that attracts you to the music scene and to documenting it?
Music was just always there. Like when I didn't have a friend to call on to or my parents were busy or it was just too much going on. Music was just always there. And I can't play anything to save my soul. But I knew I've always wanted to, like, be in that world. And my way of, like, thanking these artists was, like, I can take pictures. So I always saw it as me, like, thanking you for, like, being an artist and, like, having your art kind of change lives all over. And whether or not I like the music itself, like, the music scene itself, I know it saved so many people's lives. And my way to contribute to that is to pretty much capture them the way I see them, and they're just people that end up, you know, making a butt ton of money, living their dream, and my entire, like, aim is to pretty much humanize musicians, because they're forever known as these, like, great rock gods, and they're just normal people who, like, eat and poop and everything like the rest of us. that's fine.
So you really wanted to show the human side of it all.
Yeah.
And is there a specific genre of music that you really enjoy shooting or listening to?
Listening to pop punk, emo, the whole shebang, the whole early to mid 2000s, that entire world.
You're speaking my language, girl.
I'm forever listening to Brand New all day, every day. Yes. Favorite band in the entire world.
So good.
If I like ignore that aspect of it all, I might talk about grown up music. Because I hate when people do that, but you know, it happens. I'm really into Dawes. I guess they're local, but not really because they're so big, but they're from North Hills. They're a really great band. I love local natives. I love just the indie alt scene when I'm not angsty, like when I'm not up here. I want to kind of like come
mellow
here.
It out a little bit.
Very indie, very, very singer-songwriter-y.
So are you mostly covering the musicians that you personally like to listen to?
Yeah, because I feel like that's when you can see, I guess, the love of it all. Because I'm still able to translate it to artists I don't listen to. I'm still able to kind of like think, or I can see you're still a human. You're still a musician. You're still doing what you love. I can forget that I don't listen to fill in the blank, and I can still document you in this way where your fans would see this and go, wow, I've never seen so-and-so like this before. Mm-hmm. So, but up to date, or currently, I've never worked with anyone that wasn't hard to work with. So I'm very happy that I have great...
That's good.
A great track record of like, no one was difficult. They all love me. It's great.
Good.
And I want to keep it that way because I've heard horror stories and I don't want my own like, yeah, they were such a diva. It's like, no, they were really great and like down to earth and super sick.
And that goes along with, you know, them being just a normal person.
They're
like
very
you.
Normal.
If you go into it with, you know, this idea that they're some god, then it's going to be a very different experience.
And they're going to feel that. They're going to feel that vibe and be like, oh, they see me in this light. That's weird. I'm going to be like, but I'm such a goober. I'm such a dork that my first icebreaker is usually like, wow, I'm sweaty. I'm like, oh my God, so am I. And they're like, okay, you're so silly. Like, there's no way you're going to be like a hard person to work with. So, and I'll like, they'll like crack jokes and like look at me. I'm like, guys, it's fine. I love bathroom humor. It's fine. I don't care.
I'm not offended. I'm amused.
It's a lot to offend me. Like, I'll join in with you. It's totally fine.
That's awesome. I'm sure that's definitely appreciated and you know behind backstage and all that stuff when
you can like keep it to yourself. That's like the main thing is like keep it to yourself. Like don't put it on social media because a lot of people do that and it's like you're like granted this access like this no one gets and you're out here blasting it. That's not cool or you're bragging about it. That's not cool.
Yeah, it's not about you. It's not about making you know yourself look cool because
it's
you
like,
have access
because so
then
silly.
You abuse that privilege and you don't get that access
exactly and they're like okay this is your first and last time thank you for coming like see you never
see you never. So in addition to the work you do with musicians I know you recently had were featured in a show called Girls to the Front. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
So Girls to the Front was a show, or is a show, because we're planning our New York one. Show of three of my friends. We're all photographers in the music scene, and we're all covering different genres. We have like a little overlap where we have just like mutual friends or whatever. And the photographers were Erica Lauren, Danielle Parsons. Oh my God, Danielle, don't hate me. And Carly Hoskins. And on a very personal note, like, they're all my favorite. I love their work so much. And just the fact that they're three women just kicking butt. Like, they're so good at what they do. And our entire thing was people know the photographs, but they don't really know who took them. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a very small stuff. People know, like, oh, Erica took this picture of Jay from Slipknot, or Carly took this picture of the band she's working with. And it was a great experience to have like all of our friends kind of like collide in this like nice big little space and see our work and us just really I guess being tired of like waiting our turn because like a lot of women are just told like okay you'll get your turn you know to show or do whatever. We're like no, let's just do it ourselves and see what happens. And we were like overwhelmed and overjoyed with the fact that people came and we were just all of us like anxious like in the corner like can they go home now like there's so many people here and they're here for us. And like Carly said it best, she was like I have this feeling we're like there's this party happening, and like I want everyone to go home, but I realize this is my party, and they're here because of me, and I did this.
I invited them.
So I'm the reason why they're all here. But yeah, Girls to the Front was just us, really, women just making our own space, like making our own way in the world, because we're not underrepresented, but we're definitely like underrepresented, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to kind of like show light that we're not that alone. We're not alone.
Mm-hmm. And, so what does it mean to you being a female in this, you know, photo industry, which is oftentimes pretty male dominated?
It means a lot of work. It's one of those things where I never thought I had to think about it. But now I'm like getting older and more conscious of the fact that, no, you definitely are a female. You're also a black female. So like really honing in on that. It just honestly means kicking more butt than the dudes and like not, and just taking their approach too, because a lot of men aren't qualified for things and they still apply to them and they still get the job. So I figured if they can do it, I can do it too, and maybe even better, who knows. So that's pretty much what it is, just kicking butt and not getting too sad if I don't get chosen for something.
Mm-hmm. And keep putting yourself out there too. Yeah. That's the most important
thing. Being aggressive, because I'm so very like, oh, wait, my turn. Now I'm like, no, don't do that. That's not what anyone
it
does.
It is my turn.
It's
yeah.
my turn now.
Mm-hmm.
I am ready.
So I wanted to wrap up the show by talking about the project that you're currently working on. I understand you're going to be participating in College Night at the Getty again this year.
No, no, not this year.
You're not?
No.
Oh, bummer.
I was like, let me just peel it back a little bit. I did 2 years in a row, and I figured I should probably like, calm down, Corey.
Okay.
Calm down a little bit. I wish so. I'm very excited to see what everyone's working on. Like, I'm still in the little group to see.
So you're still going to attend and
attend.
Support.
Yeah.
So what is it that you are currently working on then?
I think currently it's just me trying to calm down a little bit because grad school apps and just grad school itself.
Just focus
but
on
a lot of just like client stuff. I've been doing a lot of studio work. A couple of months ago, I photographed Huba Sank, which is wild.
Wow.
To even say that, like, I'm still like freaking out over that. But yeah, I've been photographing a lot of musicians in the studio and just friends and helping them with their what they need to do and stuff.
Cool. Did you have a website URL you'd like to share with our listeners so they can
yes.
check out your work?
You can check me out on the good old internet, CourtneyColes.com. I'm on Instagram and Twitter with the handle CourtneyFlakes. Don't ask, it's hilarious.
Can you spell that?
Yeah, it's CourtneyFlakes. Curry Flakes.
All right, you heard her. Go follow her and check out her work. It looks like we're out of time for today, but I want to say thank you so much for joining us here on Exposure. Make sure to tune in next week when I will be interviewing brothers Nico and Louis Heredia,
Ooh.
Who both work for one of LA's top location scouts, Image Locations, Inc. For KPCRadio.com, I'm your host, Skylar Lester. Have a great day.
Bye.